to commence this morning with hymn 237, the second part. Great High Priest, we view thee stooping with our names upon thy breast, in the garden groaning, drooping, to the ground with horrors pressed. Wondering angels stood confounded to behold our Maker thus. And can we remain unwounded when we know 'twas all for us? The second part of hymn 237.
Thank you. the Holy Word of God. We'll read together the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And a chief priest and scribe stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one, Simon, a Cyrenian coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance And the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same man had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews. Who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation. And the Sabbath day drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. May God bless to us that reading of his holy word and help us now in prayer. Most holy and merciful and gracious Lord God in heaven, that we come before thee on this Good Friday morning, and we seek thy gracious help here this morning as we come onto what we feel to be holy, sacred ground. We have read of the sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, we would take off our shoes from off our feet and tread carefully this morning as we a desire to think upon and to meditate upon the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that our hearts might be touched and that we may truly be enabled to consider him. Lord, that we may not just be found with a curiosity, but that we may have a real, true God-given desire to see Jesus. That we may have that desire to know something of him and to know the meaning of these things that we've just read. And that we may see something in the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ that will answer all our fears concerning our never-dying souls in that day of judgment.
We do pray that the guilt and condemnation of sin might be removed, and that we may truly enter into that liberty of which we've just read of concerning one of those malefactors. Or that we may know something of his language, that there may be some confession of our sin and a confessing of the Saviour. Oh, we do pray that thou draw us unto thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. Lord, that we may not pass through this time we call Easter unmoved and untouched. Lord, that we may consider and ponder and think upon the path our Lord Jesus had to walk, that we may trace out his footsteps from the upper room to Gethsemane, to Gabbatha, and to Golgotha, to Calvary. Or that we might then go on and by faith with Joseph beg the body of Jesus, and with Joseph and Nicodemus we may lay that lifeless body in the tomb. And that we may come again that first day of the week, and there with Mary Magdalene, may we see the empty tomb, the stone rolled away, and that we might see a risen Saviour, and that like Mary, that we might cry out, Rabboni, as he speaks personally to us. Or that we may know that he knows us and knew us from everlasting and will know us for everlasting. Or that we may truly understand the eternal love of God, that we may be taught to love thee in return, that our hearts might go out after thee, Lord Jesus. Or that we might not just, Lord, desire that all our earthly troubles might be gone, but that we may know that true conviction of our sinnership and then be led to the only hope, the precious blood of Jesus. We may see him as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We may know the application of that precious blood to our souls, and that we may know the liberty and the freedom. For if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. O Lord Jesus, we would worship thee and praise thee for all that thou hast done, for all that thou art, and for all that thou wilt do in blessing and calling by grace my dearly beloved people. Lord, may we be partakers of these things, that thou wilt call us by thy grace, that thou wilt make us real Christians, we may be washed in the Redeemer's precious blood, that he may be our only hope, that we may be found as the Israelite of old, on the Passover night, sheltering beneath that blood, with that promise sealed into our hearts, laid hold of by our faith, that faith given by God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, we do praise thee, Lord Jesus, for the gracious words that thou didst speak while here upon earth, and that wondrous confirmation that it is not the righteous, but it was sinners that thou hast come to seek and to save. Oh, we do pray, Lord Jesus, that even this day thy gracious hand of mercy may stretch forth and draw sinners unto thyself, away from trusting in anything that they may have or have done. Oh Lord Jesus, that thou would stretch forth thy mighty hand and lift up those that are bowed down under the weight of sin. Oh, that they may be freed from that guilt and condemnation. They may be loosed and let go. And Lord, that the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ may be blessed to souls this day. Or that there may be some that are brought to look upon him whom they have pierced and mourn for him, maybe as they've never done before. Or others, Lord, brought back to look again upon him whom they have pierced, and mourn over him and for him, as they consider their backslidings and sins. O Lord Jesus, we pray that thou get to thyself all the glory, that we may lose sight of each other this morning, see no man save Jesus only. We may be found at the foot of the cross, and there we may find peace with God. Oh, may we have sweet moments at the cross of Christ. May we know that love and grief, our heart dividing, while upon the Lamb we gaze. Oh, may the love of Christ be poured out upon us. Greater love hath no man than this, the man should lay down his life for his friends. Lord, is there a greater privilege to be called a friend of Jesus? Oh Lord, make us each to know that, oh, thou art our friend, our hope, our all. Do help us, Lord, here this morning. May Christ have the preeminence in all things. May sinners be laid low at thy feet. And Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we pray that thou glorify thyself, thy presence, thy name, thy finished work here. Only may we leave different to how we came. We're poor sinners, we We have many needs, Lord. But this morning, may, Lord, our thoughts be concerning our souls, our never-dying souls. Lord, make us right. Make us ready. Make the things of God real to us. Oh, grant us real repentance. That real godly sorrow, not to be repented of. We ask, Lord, that thou make up in giving the many things failed to be asked. Bless those that gather with us online. May, Lord, their souls be blessed also as they join with us in our worship. We ask, Lord Jesus, that thou forgive every sin and everything that's wrong with our worship, our prayer, and our lives. We ask in that worthy and all-prevailing name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and for his sake alone, amen.
Hymn 950. What object's this which meets my eyes without Jerusalem's gate, which fills my mind with such surprise as wonder to create? Hymn 950.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read? The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. With the Lord's help, this morning I'll speak to you from three words in verse 42. Lord, remember me. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. And those words spoken by that dying thief, Lord, remember me. The whole verse reads, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord Jesus declared of himself, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. I wonder this morning, oh, what a statement. Beloved friends, we look back. He has been lifted up from the earth. We remember this is the day we call Good Friday. The lifting up of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. He has been lifted up. And his cross, Calvary, the suffering death of our Lord Jesus Christ, has over the many years since been so sweetly applied to the souls of many, that many have been drawn unto him. Oh, I wonder, have you and have I? Is there something in the cross of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ which so attracts you that you cannot help but be moved as you read of it, as you consider it? We have moved from the scene, the dreadful scene at Gethsemane, and the secret and the darkness of Gethsemane, and the depths and sorrow as the whole weight of the sin of the Church of God was put upon him, and Christ the man is found prostrate on the ground under the weight of it. And there's so many things that we do not know. So little is known of Gethsemane. The anguish of his soul as he viewed for the first time, really, the horror, the sin, the
holy Lamb of God saw the full extent of the sin. No, he came to suffer on behalf of his people. He who in his divine nature could not look upon sin. Oh, the mystery that now he is made sin, who knew no sin. This is a transaction that we cannot really, fully, truly estimate. The holy, harmless Lamb of God, the undefiled, was made to be sin. He was reckoned among the transgressors. He who was guiltless became guilty. He made himself as a substitute. He stood in their place, in the place of poor sinners, guilty, vile sinners. And he took upon himself all of their sin. It is a deep, deep subject. But, oh, may there be a few deeply stained sinners this morning brought to look upon the Lamb of God. Oh, that you might approach by faith this great sin bearer. Oh, that you by faith may cast your sin upon him. Casting all your care. This is the care, isn't it? Is this the care that you have? This great care, this great concern this morning. Your sin, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Oh, he careth for you. Oh, see his willingness. See his loving heart. See the obedience to all that the Father gave him to do in that great commission to bring back the lost, to recover the outcasts, to deliver those that could not deliver themselves. Oh, there we see him in Gethsemane. We move on to the judgment hall, and there's a scourging, and there's a mocking, and there's a shame. Because sin is shameful. And do you know something of it? Is sin an embarrassment to you this morning? Are you embarrassed by the things that you've done? It's more than just being found out, isn't it? It's one thing to be found out by your parents or by a loved one. It's one thing to be found out by the world around you. It's another thing entirely to have your sins discovered by the Lord. No, you can't hide. Oh, but to have a sense of being found out, exposed. Oh, how can we stand? How can we approach? How can we ever come to God? How can we ever come near to Jesus when so full of sin and so corrupt? This is a little prayer, a wonderful prayer. Lord, remember me. I hope, beloved friends, we leave this morning and we have a heart that praises God for recording in his holy word the account of this dying thief. We come to the last few moments of the life of our Lord Jesus. His life is now to be offered up as a sacrifice. He's to give his life as an offering, that which will appease the wrath of God. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And here the eternal Son of God, now having taken into union with himself that human body and soul, is to give it up, to offer it up as a sacrifice. And the blood is to be shed for the remission of sin. And in these dying moments, in this scene of torturous death, in a scene of agony and suffering, oh, the love of Jesus shining forth from such a scene of suffering and torture and grief. There's one who's brought to look. Oh, he has no hope, does he? We read in one of the other Gospels that they were both railing on him. But a most wondrous thing takes place in the heart of this one of these dying thieves. This great change that only grace can make takes place in his heart. He's brought to see something of himself, and he testifies of the effect of it. Dost not thou fear God? Beloved friends, if the Lord is pleased to bring you to in your meditations, in your thoughts, to Calvary today, the fear of God would certainly come upon you. Dost thou not fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation. Oh, he's speaking to the other thief. If thou be the Christ, the other thief had said, save thyself and us. He wants to be off the cross, away from the suffering, free. Not through death. He wants his life preserved. He wants the sorrow, the pain to end. He wants to be saved from it. And who wouldn't? He's desperate. He's in a desperate state. Oh, but what a difference. Is this man, this other one, has he mentioned? Is he speaking now? Save us and thyself. Oh, what does he say? He said, we're here and we're suffering. And it's right that we suffer. We indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards, the due reward of our deeds. Oh, there's an ownership here of things done amiss. Oh, do you know something of this? Oh, friends, this is a prayer for you if you don't. Lord, remember me. Remember me, O Lord, with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. And what is this favour? To be taught my sinners, to be shown my sinnership, to have my sins revealed to me, to see that they're sins against a holy God. Remember me, O Lord. This is Psalm 106. Remember me, O Lord, with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me. O visit me with thy salvation. Oh, the favour of God is to be taught of the Spirit of God. They shall all be taught of him. Oh, to have this great favour given to us. Something of ourselves revealed. Then there's the humbling. Then there is the putting of our mouths in the dust. I have heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. We receive the due reward of our deeds. And he is suffering. And he's dying a cruel and torturous death. Oh, but he's cast a look. He's cast a look at one in the midst of them, one who is between them. But this man has done nothing amiss. Oh, who could have taught him that? What a sight. What a sight he saw, the suffering Lamb of God. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Last Friday evening, at the annual general meetings, our dear friend, Mr. Buss, mentioned one of Bunyan's characters, didn't he? Those of you who remember the service, he said his name was Shalcom. Who shall we send to recover that lost sinner without hope? Send Shalcom. Shalcom will fetch him. The reference is to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. O Lord, remember me. This dying thief shall come. And maybe this morning, you're thinking of the dying thief, and maybe there are suggestions in your heart, and Satan's putting it there, because I wonder if there's a few here this morning, and Satan's begun to lose ground in your heart. And the Lord has begun that good work in you. And there is a little going out toward him, and a little going out after him. But then this thought comes, well, this is the dying thief. And this, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, is him at a particular time. He's at his death place, so that this prayer isn't for you. Satan's trying to hedge around the word this morning. Oh, but beloved friends, the Lord has brought me here with this message, with his little prayer. Lord, remember me. And Satan, oh, how he hates this passage of Luke 23. Oh, the mercy of God here displayed. Oh, the 500 pence sinners that have been sweetly encouraged by this testimony, this which is left on record, which points to the almighty love of God. And, oh, this prayer of the destitute. What hope has he got of an answer? What ground can he have? Beloved friends, he has everything, doesn't he? He cannot rest on anything of himself. Oh, and that's where you and I must be. And maybe you think you have got some good things, and maybe those things are the hindrance this morning. But beloved friends, it's not a legal gospel. It is the gospel, this same place place of repentance, this same hope for sinners, for the dying thief. It's the same for every child of God. None of us have any hope in and of ourselves. All of us must come on this same ground. Lord, remember me. Oh, what a precious thing. What a precious thing that shines forth from the horrors of Calvary are the words of reply to that simple, heartfelt prayer of need. How the fulfilling of that word, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, wouldn't it be paradise today? The Lord would bless you with a sense that he had remembered you. Oh, that your name was on his loving heart. As he bowed his head, as he cried, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. Oh, what a vital thing, isn't it, for you and me this morning? Lord, remember me. Oh, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord, again. Oh, Lord, tell me again that I'm loved with that everlasting love. Visit my barren, dry heart this morning again with a sense of that love. Oh, that dying love. Oh, that we might have our hearts moved. I feel myself a rebel, base and vile, from head to feet a mass of sin and guilt, nor have I skill the malady to heal, but plead the blood that once for sin was spilt. Lord, remember me. Maybe there's one, or more than one, and you feel totally undone this morning. Or maybe you've come, or you're listening and you're thinking, this is it. Oh, I cannot go on any further. Oh, I cannot wait any longer. Oh, I cannot live. I cannot die, but I cannot live in this darkness, this gloom, in this despair any longer. Well, here's a prayer, dear friend, this morning. Lord, remember me. And may the Lord take this prayer, and may shall come take that prayer and may it be sent into your soul, into your heart, in divine power. In him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The dying thief was a testimony, and he's brought before us this morning as a testimony, as a trophy of the grace of God. Oh, and may your soul and mine be encouraged, and they shall come, take this prayer, Lord, remember me, and bring it up to your lips, and you may in faith, though everything is screaming out the opposite, and everything seems to testify against you, and everything seems to be in absolute chaos and confusion. Oh, may this prayer come forth out of your lips, Lord, remember me. You have the witness in the Lord's time today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, this dying thief was to die. And he was happy to die. He had a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, he could part with everything. Is that the problem? Is that the problem this morning? Can you part with everything? Maybe your life isn't like the dying thief's. Oh, there's things to be parted with. Oh, may it please God to bring you to Calvary. In your thoughts and your meditations, may you sit down and watch him there. Oh, may you behold Jesus in the sinner's place. Oh, may your heart be knit to the Saviour. Oh, that you might have your desire to be with him. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. And what will it be? Oh, it will be the sense of his dying love. It will be seeing the Lord Jesus in your place. It will be viewing him there and owning that you should be punished. You should suffer for an eternity because of your sin. Oh, but then to look on him and see his loving, gracious and merciful display of obedience, humbling himself, making himself of no reputation, bowing under the weight of sin, and suffering the eternal punishment due for his people's sin. The just for the unjust, that he may bring many unto glory. Lord, remember me. Oh, Lord, remember me. Lord, it's personal. Lord, I am a sinner. Oh, but remember me with this favour. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ is now risen, exalted, sitting at the Father's right hand. But this prayer, dear friend, Lord, remember me. Oh, how he delights to hear poor, broken-hearted sinners plead this short little prayer. Oh, and with joy he beholds them come to his feet, guilty wretched and undone. Oh, but the glimmer of light and hope. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. Oh, it makes him choose to die. It were an easy part for him, the cross to fly. But love to sinners fills his heart and makes him choose to die. Oh, you children. Oh, may the Lord open up to your understanding both the horrors of his death, the reason for his death, and something of this, that he chose to die. It wasn't against his will. He was made agreeable to it. It's a most wonderful thing for us. If we're able, the Lord will open this up to us. But the Lord Jesus, in all the horrors and sufferings that he had to pass through, he could have at any moment, freed himself from it. But the love to his people that he went through, even unto death. Lord, remember me. May God add his blessing. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 925. 925. Peace by his cross as Jesus made, the church's everlasting head. Our hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Hymn 925.
Thank you.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.